This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
We also reach out. We reach out our arms with understanding and compassion to those who have lost loved ones because of police shootings. Some justified, some unjustified. Those that are unjustified must be punished. Those that are justified, we must apologize to. It's time to make America safe again. It's time to make America one again. One America! What happened to? There's no black America. There's no white America. There is just America. What happened to it? Where did it go? How was it flown away? I know we can change it. Because I did it by changing New York City from the crime capital of America to the safest large city in the United States. What I did for New York, Donald Trump will do for America.
You know, I'll tell you, it's been a while since I've heard Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor, be so passionate. And he was so right on in so many ways here, Scott. I would have liked him to finish out the concept of this is what he did. This is what his leadership, this is what leadership does for, you know, for a city, you know, for a nation. It leads the way. It doesn't look to polling evidence and, because what polling will tell you, and this is why I tell people all the time, polling will, it gives you a snapshot of what is today. And leadership will say, this is where we need to go. And the difference between where we are and where we need to go is what I refer to as the grief to happiness ratio. And sometimes there's going to be some grief to get to that point, but you need to have a leader that is there banging the vision, banging the drum of where we're going to keep people encouraged to say, okay, this is where we were, and we've incrementally moved the needle. We're now starting to move in the right direction to where people start to realize that they are benefiting from good policy as they did in New York. But what happens with leadership and with the people, it requires both parties involved. It requires a people that are willing to go through that process, that grief to happiness ratio. Are they fed up enough? Is America fed up with the status quo that they really are willing to, buy into a change? You know, we had our last president went through two administrations and says, hey, this is change you can believe in. Well, I am not sure after 8 years if it's anything we can believe in. It's change that's turned into a nightmare. I mean, he said he was going to fundamentally change America. And when he said that, I go, what does that mean? And here it is, 8 years later, we're looking back and what it meant is we're going to be more in debt. We're going to have less people working. We're going to have more people relying on the government, owing their soul to the company store, as Tennessee Ernie Ford, if you remember that song and everything that that represents. This is what America, today's America, is starting to look like. it's becoming more and more socialistic. And I saw this when I was in Ireland, as I was talking with Sam earlier. It is a slow creep, and this is what's happening. People are abandoning their dreams. They're letting go of their desires and their hard work ambitions, and they're subordinating them to the company store, to the federal government. And at what cost, ladies and gentlemen? I believe the cost is dire, and we need to wake up.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-725-2487. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-725-2487. 1-800-725-2487.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop.
Hey, sometimes we do have to hit the pause button, ladies and gentlemen. You remember that old song, you know, a little Buffalo Springfield. But the words are still echoing, you know, to us today as words of caution. You know, sometimes we just move way too fast in this hurry-up generation, as I refer to it, the microwave generation. You know, we'll stand in front of a microwave and yell, hurry up, it's just not moving fast enough for us. And that's what's getting us in trouble, whether it has to do with due process and these situations, you know, as Sheriff Clark talked about last night at the RNC, is that we're so quick to jump to conclusion. And look what happened. I mean, even in the Freddie Gray case, I mean, every one of those officers now have been vindicated. And, you know, what does that say about Marilyn Mosby? I mean, they're, you know, they're saying, hey, look, she ought to be impeached. She ought to be out of the job, you know, for bringing that up. But speaking of words that are echoing down through the ages, you know, clearly the words of Ronald Reagan continue to echo down through the ages. And I say thank God for one Ronald Reagan. Gene Copelson is with us right now. He's the author of the book Reagan's 1968 Dress Rehearsal, Reagan's Emergence as a World Statesman. Gene, good to have you back with us. How you doing, sir?
Bill, thank you very much.
Hey, excellent book, by the way. I got to tell you, thank you so much for all the hard work and what you share, and I highly recommend it, ladies and gentlemen. This will encourage you. And I think the reason, Gene, that we look back and with fondness for one Ronald Reagan is that, you know, we were coming out of a dark period in our country where, you know, we were told by a president that we needed to suck it up and just work harder, you know, that sort of thing. It wasn't very encouraging. And Ronald Reagan brought some practicality. He brought a vision. He brought an understanding and met people where they were and really opened the door for a new America, or maybe, a revived America.
Correct. And people who know a little bit about Ronald Reagan may be thinking we're discussing Jimmy Carter's presidency, Reagan's victory in 1980, restoring the American economy, defeating communism without firing a single shot. But my focus is on the first time Ronald Reagan ran for the presidency, and that is in 1968, and he was railing against the failed leadership of another Democrat, this time Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson was mismanaging another war in Asia, in Vietnam. Just like today, he was telling our enemy in advance exactly what he would or wouldn't do. This time it wasn't President Obama telling in advance in Iraq and Afghanistan when he would withdraw our troops. Mm-hmm. In 1968, it was Lyndon Johnson telling North Vietnam in advance that he wouldn't mine Haiphong Harbor, that he wouldn't threaten to use atomic weapons. If their troops fled over adjacent borders, he wouldn't chase after them. He was telling in advance our enemies exactly what we would and wouldn't do, and Ronald Reagan was very, very disappointed in many aspects of the mismanagement of that war. But as important, if not more important, Ronald Reagan was campaigning for the presidency against Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. He saw the federal bureaucracies that were established, the redistribution of monies, and that the Democratic Party continued its philosophy of dividing this country into subgroups. He hated the term hyphenated Americans. The Democrats had and continued to call people Black Americans, Mexican Americans. That way they could claim they were being discriminated against and were suffering grievances and get their votes. The mentoring that he was receiving at that time from Dwight Eisenhower, and it stemmed from Theodore Roosevelt a long time before, wanted everyone to be called Americans first. We're an American of Irish descent, an American of German descent, but we're Americans first. They all saw Teddy Roosevelt, Dwight Eisenhower, and then Ronald Reagan, that the country would become too balkanized, would not be unified at all if we continued only to be thinking of ourselves as a grieved subgroup. So it's very, very just like modern times.
And, you know, and to your point, what drove this was the desire for politicians to get the vote. Lyndon Johnson made that real clear. Particularly when with his war on poverty, he told the Southern Democrats, he says, look, if you go along with this, I will guarantee you Black America, there's the hyphenation, Black America will vote Democrat for the next 100 years. And, you know, and it is amazing to me, as documented as that is, that Black America cannot wake up to see how they've been gamed and how they've been manipulated.
This was a theme of Ronald Reagan in 1966, 67, and 68, when he tried to extend his great achievements as the new governor of California in downsizing that state bureaucracy, which he wanted to then extend to the nation as a whole. And he addressed the issue of Black loyalty to the Democratic Party a number of times. He said he could not understand these were failed solutions. Just like in modern times, he said that the major problems with crime and poor economies are in cities that continue to be run by Democratic Party machines, and that the Republican Party did not care what background you had. It didn't care about your race or color. We wanted an equal starting line for folks, but through your God-given talents you were born with and through hard work, you could reach for the stars. He wanted no equal results. He wanted no ceilings, and he did not understand the loyalty that the Black community had to the Democratic Party at that time, 45 years ago, and unfortunately, it has continued ever since. Those are failed policies. All boats are lifted by the small government and individual freedom policies of the Republican Party, and he, at that time and to this day, other Republicans still are trying to get Blacks away from what Ronald Reagan called the Democratic federal plantation system. They were enslaved 150 years ago and are still enslaved to the Democratic Party.
It's Tennessee Ernie Ford. I owe my soul to the company store. It is that song now, brought to date. I mean, all you need is Snoop Dogg, you know, rapping it out, you know. And I did a little bit of a shout out last week to Snoop Dogg, and I just said, I don't understand how you can go and perform for the DNC in Philadelphia when it is this party that has killed millions of Black babies. I don't understand the disconnect, how you can do that. And it's not just Snoop Dogg. There's other Black artists that support the Democratic Party that believes in Margaret Sanger. Well, all you got to do is look at the history book. I mean, Dr. Ben Carson brought it out. And, you know, they just, it was like Atlas Shrugged. You know, it was like the people could care less. And you're going, wait a minute, are you just so ignorant, or just, you just don't even want to deal with the truth? Are you so blind to it that you can't seem to connect the dots? And I'm not saying that, hey, look, forget about the Democratic, be a Republican. I need all your brains to get involved here in developing policy that's win-win for everybody. And as you say, that is unhyphenated. You know, we need to get back to, as Rudy Giuliani said last night very quickly, you know, very, very appropriately, is what happened to the One America? What happened to we the people?
Exactly. And I use the term brainwashed. It was very common term in the 1968 campaign because Mitt Romney from...
Gene, I'm sorry. We got to go to break. Let's pick it up when we get back right from right there.
This report is brought to you by S.C. Johnson. Mosquitoes. We all know they can cause itchy, irritating bites during the summer season. But did you know only female mosquitoes bite your skin? Or that the chemicals in your breath can attract mosquitoes? Scientists at the S.C. Johnson Entomology Research Center have been studying insects for 60 years and have found that body chemistry, proximity to water, and the color of your clothing can make a difference if you want to avoid bites. Dr. Maud Meyer, an S.C. Johnson bug expert, is here to share some tips to help you protect your family from mosquitoes this summer.
Our research at SC Johnson shows that personal repellents that contain DEET offer the best protection against mosquito bites. DEET affects the scent receptors in mosquitoes, making it difficult for them to recognize humans as a food source. In order to best protect your family, look for effective personal repellents like OFF that contain DEET.
For more facts and tips on avoiding mosquito bites this summer, visit www.scjohnson.com/mosquitoes.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Note to D.C. bureaucrats, you're not getting away with it. Bill Martinez, live.
Oh, when my baby smiles at me, I'll go to Rio. It's Janeiro. I'm a salsa fellow. When my baby smiles at me, the shot of my life, and I am free at last. What a blast!
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
You know, you gotta love the music of Rio, and of course, we're getting ready for the Olympics with some caution, no doubt. Little Peter Allen there, why not? Let's go to Rio. Gene Copelson is with us. We're talking about Reagan's 1968 address rehearsal, Reagan's emergence as a world statesman. Gene, you know, before we pick up where we left off here, what I was particularly impressed with in understanding, you know, Ronald Reagan a little bit more is that this wasn't, some people would think, you know, he like came on the scene like it was an overnight deal. I mean, here is a man that was blessed with such a skill set and a sensitivity to really be a round peg in a round hole when it came to politics. Yes, he was an exceptional actor and successful there, and but clearly he was a leader, and he refined that skill set by, you know, being mentored with, you know, by Ike Eisenhower. I mean, he really invested, you know, his skill set into developing this, whereas, you know, today, by comparison, you might argue you have somebody in a businessman like Donald Trump, who is skilled as a businessman, as a CEO. He's got part of the puzzle piece, but not all of it. And he's really being accelerated here because the country is in such need of leadership. And we're going to pay, I think we're going to pay a price either way, you know, with this, because of the lack of political experience.
Well, some people might argue that's a good thing, and that's why a lot of people see him as an outsider. But there were very successful prior presidents who did not have major political experience the traditional way. Mm-hmm. Ulysses S. Grant, Dwight Eisenhower being commanding generals, and Ronald Reagan. He and Eisenhower were friends partly because they each entered politics late. Reagan having the skills as president of the Screen Actors Guild and a wonderful public speaker. Reagan had throughout the 1950s conservative principles, but at that time he still was a Democrat. He does not become a Democrat until 1962, and similarly Donald Trump, whatever his prior political philosophies have been, he certainly now is running on a conservative-themed a platform, and hopefully he has a group of advisors behind the scene, because Americans still usually have domestic and economic themes as their major concerns, mm-hmm. placing foreign affairs second, even though there are pivotal points and pivotal elections such as 1968 in Vietnam and other time periods when foreign affairs, and I think this is another one, given the crises that are occurring throughout the world, many of which thanks to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. We have to deal with at this point.
Right.
And there are just so many parallels that I review in Reagan's 1968 dress rehearsal to today's modern times.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the thing I look at as well, Gene, is that, you know, from the business side, you know, America really is in need of a, you know, kind of a Chapter 11 CEO. And, you know, for those that have been in business, you understand when a CEO comes in to save a company, you know, there's been some very difficult cuts that a business has ignored. They won't make them. But somebody who comes in as an outsider can look at it and say, hey, I can appreciate the emotional ties, but we need to survive here. And maybe that is something that, you know, Donald Trump will effect here if he's elected president.
And that's actually exactly what Ronald Reagan did in the late 1960s. He came into California as a new governor and instituted modern business practices. He was very, very successful, and he wanted to spread that same philosophy to the federal government. Just as one example, they were budgeting a brand new multi-story skyscraper to be built in California, and through budget cutting and shrinking the desk size allotted to secretaries, by changing the cycle of driver license renewals so they didn't have to bring on board temporary workers by carefully looking at out-of-state travel. He saved enough money immediately that they didn't need to build that state skyscraper anymore by just instituting modern business practices applied to state workers. And that kind of conservative free market kind of philosophy certainly is needed now, given the huge expansion in not only federal government employees, but even more critically affecting and impacting the economy is the federal bureaucracy and regulations that have impeded economic growth. When Ronald Reagan finally becomes president in 1980, he institutes economic policies that creates 25 million real actual jobs, unlike the past 8 years under a continued Democratic rule.
Gene, is it galling? I mean, to me, it's galling and it's disappointing that, you know, the leaders that we elect cannot take advantage of the wisdom of the ages, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, to say, hey, this works. I mean, for example, we mentioned in the first break, it would seem that routinely Democrats do not understand war. They don't affect it very well. I mean, I don't remember, you know, in recent era, where there has been a president who could manage, you know, the war effort or have a stomach for it or however way you want to characterize it. They don't seem very, you know, they don't get high grades for it. You know, I think when it comes to, you know, some maybe some other programs, and I don't want to get into the entitlement arena because I think that's an overcooked deal, because I think the heart's in the wrong place. I think it's about gathering votes. It's not really about helping people. I think, you know, I think let's help people, but let's do it to where it's win-win. It's win-win for them. It encourages people and gets them back on the road to being productive and realizing their dreams again, not to cripple them and entitle them into extinction.
Well, Ronald Reagan actually looked back onto his first campaign and the subject of Vietnam through a big historical lens, and he saw that that created a huge shift in Democratic Party thinking on war. Specifically, prior to that, you know, FDR was America's leader during World War II, and you look at someone like John Kennedy, who ran in 1960, his platform was he claimed there was a missile gap. Now, that was not true. He was shown data by Dwight Eisenhower's team, but he continued to campaign falsely that Dwight Eisenhower had created a missile gap with Russia. But his theme was he wanted a stronger American military. But after Vietnam, his brother, who created a lot of the same policies as JFK that got the country into Vietnam, Robert Kennedy and many other Democrats turned against the war, and Reagan, decades later, looking back upon that, felt that that was the hinge moment when the Democratic Party became paralyzed in terms of continuing to mismanage wars, starting with Lyndon Johnson, Robert Kennedy, and Eugene McCarthy and others turn away from the war, and ever since, they have gone along that theme. It's the complete separate, different party. People like Harry Truman, a staunch anti-communist, John F. Kennedy wanting to expand America's military budget, they could never be nominated in today's Democratic Party, which has turned far, far, far to the left.
Well, as we know, life comes in seasons and times, and there is a word that says, you know, there's a time for peace and a time for war. And God forbid when you get those two confused. And I think that America might be there right now. Gene, what do you think?
Well, we hope not, but there's an enemy on the horizon. As Winston Churchill talked about the Nazis in the 1930s, we have ISIS and radical Islam out there. The Democrats can't even use those terms. Mm-hmm. You can't even use the terms to describe your enemies. How can we defeat them?
That's the big question, and that's a rather haunting one that has put America in jeopardy and makes too many Americans feel unsafe. Gene Copelson has been with us. Gene, thank you so much. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 29 after the top of the hour right now.
This report is brought to you by the Astellas Oncology C3 Prize. According to a study published in Lancet Oncology, by 2030, there are expected to be more than 22 million cancer cases worldwide. As the medical community develops innovative treatments, the need for new tools that may help those facing cancer today is critical. The Astellas Oncology C3 Prize, seeking non-treatment ideas to improve cancer care, will award $100,000 in grants and a chance to present at Stanford University's Medicine X to Shark Tank's Robert Hershevek. Mark Reisenauer, Senior VP Oncology at Astellas.
As a caregiver for my father, who recently passed away from cancer, I understand the needs and challenges faced by patients and caregivers. That's why we created the C3 Prize, and we look forward to the innovations discovered through this program.
Applications for the C3 Prize close at midnight Central Time, August 8th. Submit your ideas and see full challenge rules at c3prize.com. Void where prohibited and no purchase necessary.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-954-9674. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-954-9674. That's 1-800-954-9674. 1-800-954-9674.
Listening
to Bill Martinez live.
Hey, why not, huh? Let's go to Rio. It's party time. Why not? Hey, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. We had to play that song because in a festive mood is Matthew Whitaker, former U.S. attorney, president of the Ethics Watchdog Group, the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust. Matt, I just wanted to lighten things up a little bit. I know that you deal with a lot of heady stuff, and hey, why not? Let's do a little dancing into this segment here, right?
Yeah, let's get our pina coladas and our hula skirts out.
Hey, you're my kind of guy. I knew it. Hey, why not? Because, meanwhile, we had the Clinton Foundation movie, Clinton Cash, released this weekend, and the ire of America is on the rise. And what we understand is there's renewed calls for the FBI, IRS, and FTC investigations into the Clinton Foundation. Did you get a chance to see that movie yet?
I have not seen the movie, but I did hear that the IRS is actually going to pick that letter up and look at the issues that it presents. So that would be a interesting development, to say the least.
Well, you know, it's just that lie that just won't go away, and here we are. I mean, you know, we bust open the glass ceiling, the first woman to be nominated by a major party for the office of President of the United States. Her trustworthy numbers are in the tank. And here we've got two movies. We got Hillary's America from Dinesh D'Souza. And then, of course, from the book that was released earlier this year from Peter Schweitzer, Clinton Cash.
It's quite an indictment, you know, Matt, you know, in following the cash and following the money with this Clinton Foundation, it's pretty scary stuff. And as we were talking with Peter Schweitzer the other day, you sense that there's you get the cockroach effect, you know, when the light goes on, all the cockroaches are scattering. People, I just see them hunkering down and going, God, I hope they don't find me out, because it really points to, you know, something a lot more diabolical than just the Clinton Foundation.
Well, and I don't know if you and Mr. Schweitzer did talk about it or not, but if you remember the Comey press conference and then the Comey testimony in front of Congress.
Yes.
I at the end, and you had to watch till the end, he was asked specifically about investigation of the Clinton Foundation, and he used the famous prosecutor word that I learned and knew very well, which is, I can't confirm or deny the existence of an investigation. And so, you know, that was the dog whistle to me that they're still looking at the Clinton Foundation. And knowing Jim Comey like I do, it would not surprise me for him to come out the first time, build all this credibility, it's kind of a fair and honest guy, especially in the eyes of the left. Mm-hmm. And then in the second press conference based on the Clinton Foundation, to just drop the hammer, because, you know, he's now in the eyes of a lot of people, judge, jury, and executioner, especially on the left, kind of nothing to see here. And, the other thing that's frustrating me, is, you know, Jim Comey said that Hillary Clinton violated criminal law,
mm-hmm.
that she was just not going to recommend prosecuting her. And then Sunday, what do we have? We have Hillary Clinton go on 60 Minutes saying, same rules don't apply to me that apply to everybody else.
Exactly.
So, well, I mean, I'm sure your listeners' heads are spinning. It's an extraordinary time. But by and large, sort of, I think the long view of history, and I think we'll look back and we'll know exactly what was going on at the Clinton Foundation while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State.
Well, you know, when our country, 7 out of 10 of us approximately, say we're on the wrong track, I say one of the foundational issues we're dealing with are ethic and moral issues. And this speaks to this, Matt, is that, you know, for so long we've had politicians in our government that, it has become a refined profession and one that serves them instead of the people that supposedly they took an oath to serve.
Yeah, and that's, as you know, the whole purpose of the group I run, which is Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust, is to hold, you know, politicians and public servants accountable when they put their own interests ahead of the interests of the people they serve. And that, you know, if Bill Clinton is getting more money while his wife is Secretary of State for his speeches than he ever did before or after, I mean, that should tell you something, that there are those, especially foreign governments and foreign entities, that want access to Secretary Clinton and believe they could get it either through donations to the foundation or paying huge speaking fees to her husband.
Yeah. And it's not, Matt, it's not like this is a big leap of faith and we have to wait until the stars perfectly align. I mean, this has been a problem with government and power and greed from day one. Nobody's perfect here. We're all human beings. We all make mistakes. And, given the opportunity and particularly the way, government is run, I mean, we've had, you know, one indictment after another from day one of the political process here in this country where people have overstepped their bounds. They can't handle the power and they see all this money and they agree grows. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, again, where Peter Schweitzer pointed out that there was insider trading taking place in Congress. And this was one of the reasons why, you know, senators and congressmen were becoming so wealthy in their position of office. I mean, it's almost like you want to tell them, hey, forget it. We're not going to pay you guys because you guys are already skimming off the top anyway. So why are we paying you on top of all this other money that you're ripping off from the public, all in the name of public service, you know, dare I say, Nancy Pelosi and Denny Hastert and company.
Right. And, you know, yeah, Hastert's a prime example where he took advantage of the information that he was able to gather from his position and become a multimillionaire. But, you know, this goes to what we need to get back to in our country. And that is the idea that that politics is not a profession. That it is, you serve the public, you go, you do your several terms, and then you go back to the job and to the community instead of staying in Washington, D.C., and just finding another way to monetize your connections and experience. And that, you know, until we get back to kind of our bakers and candlestick makers and, you know, everybody else just going, serving, not enjoying the service, but doing it out of an obligation to make their community better, and then going back into the real world, I think we're going to continue to have this where public servants line their pockets and never want to get out of it. And, you know, the presidency went through that with FDR.
Yes, exactly.
You know, everybody served two terms until all of a sudden he was, you know, the only person that could hold that office, and we had to change the Constitution for that. And I think, you know, the time is coming where we need to get back to the idea of citizen servants instead of career politicians.
Yeah, term limits. I'm with you on that, Matt, because the temptation is right there. And again, as I said earlier, the thing that concerns me is that, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know that this runs a lot deeper. You know, and I even asked Peter about that. I just said, I'm not asking you to tell me and reveal what the future is, but I got to imagine as you're doing this, you're seeing other entities and other involvements. And of course, some of those have already been exposed. They're so obvious that they've already been indicted. But in this particular case, when you've got, you know, the Clintons involved, and what we've been seeing again is that, you know, there's the rule of law and then there's the rule for the Clintons.
Well, and mark my word, I know that you've been watching a little bit of this DNC, and I know your listeners saw it, and you saw Michelle Obama speak, and you thought in your back of your mind, wow, I wonder if she's ever going to run for office.
Yes.
You know who's going to set up the next? It's going to be the Obama Foundation, and it's going to be the Clinton Foundation on steroids. And they are going to line their pockets and house political talent and do all the kind of things that the Clintons figured out how to do first, and they're going to do it better because, quite frankly, my sense is that, you know, the Obamas are smarter than Bill and Hillary and a little more sophisticated.
Well, they certainly already have a runway. The Clintons have already established that, and, you know, and the Clintons have, you know, they built up the Clinton Foundation based on what was already, you know, there, formed up and modeled. So they're following, you know, they're following their tracks. So, you know, so why not? And look at, you know, look at Michelle's popularity. I mean, she ignited that group, and her numbers are a lot higher than her husband's right now, aren't they?
Yeah, and, you know, you could tell in watching that speech, I believe it was on Monday, that, you know, that she has really grown in
yes.
that office. And you know, this is all about political dynasties. I mean, they are the counterweight on the left to the
exactly.
Clinton.
Exactly. Well, Matt, we're out of time. Matt Whitaker, I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Freestyle and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-933-1430. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, call 1-800-933-1430. That's 1-800-933-1430.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using the system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
No, you're not alone. Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us. You know, joining the good fight to pursue the truth, no matter where it leads us, because it is that significant and vital, and especially for a time such as this and this 21st century America that we're looking at. With us right now, we're honored to have the one and only Peter Schweitzer. He's the president of the Government Accountability Institute, best-selling author, including his latest book, which has now become a movie, Clinton Cash. Peter, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm great, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, Peter, I guess Google couldn't mess with the analytics, the trending on Facebook and everything. I mean, Zuckerberg had to think, oh, my goodness, how can we slow this train down? But the response for the general public on Clinton Cash was beyond overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, it's tremendous. Number one trending on Facebook North America. We had more than 290,000 people tune in to watch it. And we know that in a lot of cases, people had several people with them watching it. So the audience we reached was enormous. And I think it just shows, Bill, the hunger that people have for information on Hillary Clinton. I mean, there are areas that the media won't go, things they won't look into, questions they won't ask. And then also sometimes, you know, there's just stuff sort of thrown up there that is more on the level of rumor. What we did was look at facts, look at information, do serious investigative work, and we put together a portrait of the way in which Bill and Hillary Clinton operate, and it's really quite scary.
Well, Peter, we talked when you first released the book, and we've had several conversations about this and connecting the dots, and I, like you, have been astounded that the mainstream media has refused to do their job on these issues. As you say, you know, you're not asking people to put a bunch of tinfoil hats on and, you know, and sing some sort of anti-Clinton mantra. I mean, here's the facts that connect the dots. There's a cause-and-effect relationship, and clearly, in many cases, the difference was because we had a Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and a former president whose speeches suddenly, you know, start to skyrocket in terms of their value.
That's right. I mean, to pick just one example to show how absurd the media's position has been, as the book came out, or before the book came out, we went to some of the top investigative units in the mainstream media. We went to the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ABC News. All three of them ended up running stories that were supportive of the material and the stuff that we exposed. The New York Times in particular did a 4,000-word front-page story in the New York Times about the Russia uranium. That story came out last year. We've had all these presidential debates on the Democratic side. There have been numerous interviews that Hillary Clinton has done on CNN and MSNBC. Has she been asked a single question about that Russia uranium deal? No,
exactly.
She has not. So think about any other public figure, any other politician in America that had a 4,000-word front-page piece in the New York Times that said you had undisclosed donations that you were hiding going into your foundation. It was coming from Russian-connected entities, and you played a role in transferring 20% of U.S. uranium to Russia. And any other politician in America who had a story written about that, like that, about them, would be subject to a barrage of media coverage. With the Clintons, it's been radio silence from CNN and these other outlets.
Exactly, and that's the most astounding thing, Peter. I sat in a room, there's probably eight of us watching the movie, and on the uranium deal particularly, one person couldn't help, it was a guttural response, and they just said, that's treason.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. People are used to presidents and, you know, powerful politicians, you know, giving ambassadorial appointments, you know, make this guy that gave me a bunch of money, raised a bunch of money for me, I'm going to make him ambassador to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. People, unfortunately, have become accustomed to kind of rank-and-file corruption. But the uranium deal shows the extent to which the Clintons are willing to sell just about anything. I mean, this is the material that makes up nuclear weapons. It's for civilian nuclear technology, and it's the Russian government.
Yes.
That's buying this, and you have money going to the Clinton Foundation funneled through these companies like Solida, a Canadian that is actually owned by the Russian government, is funneling millions of dollars to the Clintons. And it's absolutely shocking.
Well, Peter, the other thing you point out in the movie, which you did in the book, of course, was exactly what happened in Haiti. And it seems that Haiti is kind of the microcosm of this model that they use, and that is where they go where the money is. So if there is an influx of money, particularly government money, they're swooping down like vultures, getting control of that government money, all in the, you know, the idea, the surface look that, you know, they're just out of their beneficence. They're there, but it's all about them, clearly, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And Haiti is a very sad but true example of that. And I tell people, if you want to find ground zero of people who are fist-shaking angry at the Clintons, go to Haiti. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Haitian community in New York is out protesting in front of the Clinton Foundation on a weekly basis because you had hundreds of millions of dollars sent to Haiti for the purposes of rebuilding. And that money has not helped the Haitians. It's ended up helping a handful of Clinton Foundation donors who give them money, who give them speaking fees. In fact, one of the things that we highlight in the book and in the film is gold mining. You know, Haiti mm-hmm. has a long history with gold mining that is, you know, controversial. I mean, it deals with slavery. And so they stopped giving out gold mining exploitation permits, as they call them, years ago. Well, they started doing that again while Bill and Hillary Clinton were in charge of Haitian reconstruction, and the first gold mining exploitation permit goes to this company called VCS Mining that has no history of gold mining whatsoever. But what they do have is Tony Rodham, Hillary Clinton's brother, sitting
Amazing.
On the board.
Exactly.
I mean, you cannot find more of an insider deal than that, and I think a more stark example of the kind of exploitation and cronyism that the Clintons engage in than that.
Do you find it ironic that she's the first to talk about how the ultra-wealthy are getting more money, the middle class, the poor people aren't getting anything, and the Clinton Foundation is an exact example of the very thing supposedly she disdains?
Yeah, I mean, that's right. And it shows the two different models that we're talking about. So, you know, you look in the world of high tech and you see a guy like Bill Gates, or, you know, you see the late founder of Apple Computer, Steve Jobs. They become fabulously wealthy because they produce products that people voluntarily choose to buy. Nobody forces you to buy an iPad or an iPhone. People
right.
choose to do it. Contrast that with the cronyism model of the Clintons, where they go to places like Haiti or Kazakhstan or Colombia, and it's all about speaking out and squeezing a deal with the government whereby you get a important asset like a gold mining permit at the expense of somebody else, and you get that deal not because of merit, but because you're the one that's greasing the white palm. That's the biggest contrast, I think, between sort of traditional free market capitalism and the crony capitalism that the Clintons excel at.
It's, to me, quite amazing what they've been able to execute here, Peter. You know, countries usually go to war to get access of people's minerals. And what the Clintons have been able to do, based on a quid pro quo model, is go in and set up their cronies in play, supposedly. I mean, use the power of the government and the power of the Secretary of State position, allowing some, you know, special treatment, and to be able to access the minerals of these different countries. This is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the film and the book take you to, you know, four different continents. You know, from Central Asia to Africa to Latin America, to show how governments, you know, in these countries control who gets a mining permit. And mining in these countries is enormously profitable because they don't have the safety or environmental precautions that you have in the United States and elsewhere. So
exactly.
Getting those assets is enormously lucrative. So if you have the Secretary of State and her husband on your side, and they can do favors for you as a third world despot, as a third world despot, you're going to be glad and happy to give a mining permit to one of their buddies, because it's going to help you in the end. And then
right.
the mining buddies, of course, are going to put money in the pockets of the Clintons. So everybody wins, except the people that live in those countries and American citizens who now get decisions based on personal profit for the benefit of the Clintons, not policies based on what's in the best interest of the country.
The other thing that came out in terms of a general anecdotal comment, Peter, with the group that I was in, is that, you know, this seems so acceptable. And we're not hearing anything from the mainstream media, nor are we hearing anything from other politicians. This speaks of a model of acceptance that could run much deeper than the Clinton Foundation.
No, I think that's a great point, Bill, and this is what I try to tell people, that look, this is about something more than the Clintons. I mean, I know we've got an election coming up, and there's a lot of attention focused on it, but here's the bottom line, what everybody has to recognize, independent, Republican, conservative, liberal, Democrat, everybody. In Washington, D.C., if you give politicians a means by which they can get rich off of government service, they will take it in a heartbeat. And it doesn't matter if that politician is a liberal or a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have with the Clintons is a new and dangerous model of self-enrichment. And if we don't deal with this, Bill, we could have, 5 years from now, a Secretary of Defense deciding, you know, I'm going to put my spouse on the lecture circuit. I'm going to set up a foundation. I'm going to take money from all these foreign entities. We're
sure.
going to see the sovereignty of the country under them.
Exactly. Well, Peter, congratulations on the movie. I would say on behalf of hundreds and thousands, if not millions of people, we appreciate all the hard work that went into the book, the movie Clinton Cash. And, of course, now the book is going to be on paperback. Peter Schweitzer, president of the Government Accountability Institute, best-selling author, including, of course, his latest book, now going to paperback, as I mentioned, Clinton Cash. Peter, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, Bill, thanks so much for having me.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be, clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
There is an affordable